I need a book on how to be a gentleman. Need to know my... Hi. James from Ingvid. This book is called How to Be a Gentleman by John Bridges. It's sort of like a textbook. And what is a textbook? A textbook is a book designed to teach you something with exercises that will bring you from one place to another. So when you're finished doing the textbook, you should learn a skill. Unlike a book that you read for an enjoyment, which is fun, you enjoy, you put away, a textbook is usually used in schools to teach skills. And through exercises and tests, you master it. This is sort of like a textbook, but it's a little bit fun. My job today is to do something we haven't done before. You come to Ingvid to learn English, which is true, and this is great. But you could also buy books outside. I'm sure some of you actually have bought books outside. When I teach some of my students before they go back to their country, say, teacher, I need a book to help me with my grammar or my English. One of my colleagues at Ingvid has done a lesson. You should check it out. It's about books you should read. But this one is specific. This is on textbooks, the books that teachers may use in schools, or you can buy by yourself, which will help you increase in your IELTS, on your TOEFL, or on your grammar or vocabulary. And these are books designed for people who are learning English as a second language. Okay? And that's what this lesson is today. How to pick a good textbook. So see, gentlemen, how to pick a good textbook. A textbook that would help you. I can give you 10 books that I think are good textbooks. But I am not you, and I'm not your teacher. Oh, well, I am. I know, I'm sorry. I like you too. Okay, yeah, okay, we love each other. But I mean, I'm not there to help you. If I were sitting with you, talking to you, I might say, you know what? This book isn't good for you. This book is good for you. And because I want to help you, see, I said wanna. See, that's a grammar thing. Because I want to help you, I'm going to give you something that you can use to find a textbook for yourself. Because there are probably many books in your country, and you don't know which is a good one. I don't want you to waste your money, and I want you to learn. Okay, so let's go to how to pick a good textbook. I found there are approximately 10 points that you should have when you're going to buy a textbook. They can be very expensive and very helpful. Okay, if you pick the wrong one, though, it's not a good use of your money, and it will take time, valuable time from your learning. The first thing you should look at is, when was the book made? Yes, the book is old. It is 20 years old. It's not a good book. Because they probably don't talk about computers or laptops or email and addressing any of that. And you're going to be looking at books where you're saying, well, golly gee, sir, I think the rain on the plain in Spain is mainly... And it's out of date. We call something out of date. If the book is over 10 years old, probably not good to use. All right? Probably you want to stay away and get a more up-to-date book, one with more modern examples that will talk about technologies you're using today. Okay? The next one is, what do you need? I don't know how many students come to me and say they want to listen, get better hearing skills. And then they tell me how they're watching the news. And they're level 2 or 3. And I'm like, stop! Immediately! You shouldn't be watching the news until you have 80% of the language. It's just too much for you. What do you need it for? Well, teacher, I want to watch my TV program. Well, watch your TV program. What do you need is what you work on. If you need IELTS or TOEFL, don't use a basic grammar book. You should be high enough that you can use the books that you're testing for. What do you need? Do you need it for work? Then you need technical books. Books that work specifically with technical language or formal language. Are you going on vacation? Then you need a book with pictures and drawings and fun stuff. Heck, you can even watch TV programs for children. What do you need? So in a textbook, look at what do you need, and the textbook addresses, and when we say address, it's working towards what you need, not what you think your friend has or someone would tell you. Third, drawings or illustrations. I know you're going to say I'm not a child. That's not the point. If I do this, you know I'm hungry. If I go like this, you know I'm thirsty. An illustration helps to make things easier for you. If English is not your first language, and I was studying Spanish, I found that sometimes a picture beside the words made it come to my head. Cenar or cenar is dinner in Spanish. When I saw potato, chicken, and vegetables, and the clock saying 6 o'clock, and said, time for esta cenar, I went, oh, this is dinner. Got it. Understand completely. So a good text will have some illustrations, not be all words, because we are creatures who use our eyes and our ears and our mouths, right, to communicate. Just looking with just the words is not enough for all people, okay? Next, exercises. I can say, ¿cómo se dice en español? And it means, okay, what does this mean in Spanish, or how do you say this in Spanish? Great. But if I say that and I don't give you any exercises, and you'll notice on Ingvid, at the end of almost every video we have, there's a quiz, something for you to do to test if you've learned. You should have exercises. If they just give you information and say, this is this and this is this, really it's no good, because it's the practice. The practice makes language stay in your head. So you need to have some exercises, one page or two, to help you master or get comfortable with it. And you can go and check, why was this different than this? Because two examples does not tell you why there are three examples and they're all different. You sometimes need some, you know, more to go, oh, I understand and I see. In this situation, or in this area, I need this, and in this area, I need this. Cool? So you should have multiple exercises. More than one method. What does that mean? As I said before, some people are what we call auditory students. They need to hear information to learn. I'm visual. If I see a picture and see the words on the paper, I understand more than when someone explains it to me. When they explain, sometimes I just go, because I'm waiting for the picture to come and they won't give me a picture. So I'm just blinking. This is called blinking, blink, blink, until the picture comes. Okay? Well, some people just hear and bam, bam, bam. Thank you, ma'am. They understand everything. But a picture, they go, what is this? I'm so confused. Okay? So it should have more than one method. And that's why I said up here, illustrated. But it could also be a conversation. They could have different methods. Conversation, questions, definitions, and pictures. So each person's different way of learning or learning style or strategy, they can learn differently. We all learn differently. And sometimes a combination is needed, and a good textbook knows that and puts it in there. Cool? So we talked about building, okay, and how you start from the base and work up. Another method of building is the text should be able to be used by one or more people. What do I mean? Well, here's my pal. I almost forgot him. Little sausage guy. Mystery, he's a superhero. Mystery is here. Mystery may, he looks a little straight today. Straighten him out. Mystery may study by himself. He has no friends. He lives in Taiwan. He has no friends. He smells bad. Worm with BO, who knew? So he has to study by himself. But maybe one day he gets a friend. Me, James. A good text will know that you might study in a classroom environment with many people, or one-on-one, or with a partner. And it tries to build exercises, as I said over here, like one might be a conversation one, where one partner says one thing, the other partner says the other, and they can see how it relates, or a group exercise. I gave you one of the three methods to learn English, or three tricks, where you pull from the hat, seven people pull from the hat and challenge each other. That way you can all learn English together and make each other better, right? So you can do that with a good text. It will have these exercises. So it might say, with your group, don't look at that one. With your partner, do that one. By yourself, okay? So it builds so you can incorporate a group, have your own class, so to speak. Next, I'm going to change this up a little bit because I made a little bit of a mistake, and that's my fault. I want to go to context. If you have a good text, it will use grammar and vocabulary in context. It's nice to get a book that gives you 150 English words you should use. It's much better to have a book that gives you the context and tells you how regularly these words are used. Same with the grammar. When do you want to say wanna, like I said earlier, remember I said earlier, I wanna versus want to. When is it acceptable? Using it in the correct context tells you when you can use it and get the most effectiveness out of your English when you use it in the country or where you want to use it at work. We talked about bar English and business English. It's the same thing. Context. When? Okay? If you do that, and a good text has all of these things, number 9 which I really like, which this should be number 9, it'll have a final test or a unit test. So you'll do multiple exercises, then practice, and then there'll be a test. Once again, I go back to Ingvid. I'm sorry if I'm promoting it. It's a fact. You watch the video, you get a test. You know how well you're doing. You know your progress if you're getting better and better, right? That's what a good text will have. It'll have unit tests so you can get some of the information and final tests to see if you've mastered the book. If you have all of that together, that's a book you want to pay the money. If it's 20 rupee, $20, 20 euro, pay the money. It's worth it. What it will give you in education is more than you can get by complaining about how much money things cost, okay? One thing I say, and some students don't understand this part, a very, very good text, number 10 should be this one, promotes culture. You cannot learn a language and not learn the culture and be truly effective. A good text will put the culture with the book, with the context, with the exercises, so you can become more aware of what's appropriate or not appropriate. And appropriate, I mean here, by what is right or not right to do in a culture. It's like learning to drive a car. If you learn how to drive the car and you don't know the rules of the road, you're going to get hurt. Same goes with English, okay? You know the culture, the context, the language, and use them together. You'll get from point A to point B safely and have a really good trip, right? The last thing I want to bring to your attention about this is, and Mr. E reminded me by putting a box here, a good text will. It will tell you, sorry, what you will learn. Like I said, when I said with this, we usually start off, when I start with you, I say, today we're going to work on this, okay? And I try and give you an outline why you should take it, right? The same goes here. It will tell you what you're going to learn and how it will help you, right? You're here to learn TOEFL. This book will teach you the following TOEFL concepts and how you can do this on the test. Boom. You know if you should get the book or not. That goes back to need. Second, it will show you progress, how you are getting better. You'll notice the exercises are getting a little bit more difficult, but you're able to do them, okay? And it will be easy for you to follow, so you can always step back and go forward. It's not so difficult you need somebody from NASA, you know, space agency, to come and explain the rules to you. I usually recommend two books to my grammar students. One is, I'll tell you right now, Grammar in Use, and the other one was an Azar book on grammar. And they go, why, teacher, why two books on same subject? I go, very simple. See, I use bad English when I pretend to be student, you always know. I say, why, teacher, why English two subject? Okay, that's the student. I go, very easy. Well, the Grammar in Use is very basic, but it doesn't have a lot of exercises. That's why it's not number one. It's very basic. It's easy for a student to understand, right? It makes it easy to follow. But not enough exercises. They don't get the practice required to master it. But the Azar book has 4 or 5 pages of exercises. But I used to get tired of students coming to me every day going, I don't understand it. So I went, if you buy both books, read this book first, then do the exercises from this. At the end of it, you have a perfect book. It's very expensive, but it works, okay? But if you do this, you don't need to do what I told you, the two-book solution. You can find a book that works for you. And after all, I'm doing this for you. You should do this for you. I hope I haven't been too serious, but textbooks are usually dry and what have you, and I really want you to get the best out. I'm thinking about something else I will hopefully be able to get together for you that will help you in other ways, but this should be the one you use. This will help you right now. It'll save you time, money, energy, and it will lead you to a fun English experience, okay? Mr. E, this was a textbook execution on how to teach a lesson and about books. I shall take my leave of you, but before I go, as always, you need to go to www.ing-as-in-english-vid-as-in-video.com, which is Ingvid, where you can find myself and other teachers who are looking forward to helping you. And before I forget, especially if you're on YouTube, I'm looking around here, there's a button, subscribe, and do it already, all right? It's down, the button's down. See, I can't see, it's down, subscribe. And then go get the test. Okay? All right. Ciao. Subscribe.